Hi, it's Craig Sigal here, the mental toughness trainer, delivering to you life-changing strategies, training, and techniques to become fearless, direct your mind, master your emotions, and speed you along to your goals. Show notes and to stay connected to me are at mentaltoughnesstrainer.com with a link to all podcast episodes at the top of the site. All right, let's do this. Hey, this is Craig Sigal, your mental toughness trainer, and this is episode 4 of our podcast. It's also part 3 of our 3-part series in the Holy Grail of Change, how to get long-lasting or permanent change so that your thoughts and your emotions are completely in line with your goals. That's the changes you want to make, right? So what makes me different than everyone else, if you haven't already gotten it from listening to my other podcasts or this is your first time, it's that I am all about going to the core of the issue, going to the bottom line, not treating symptoms. You hear sports psychologists out there talking about when somebody's nervous, they need to just take some nice deep breaths and they need to think positively. They need to change their thoughts so they're positive and then that will change their emotions. Well, yeah, that's not bad advice, but it's symptom work. That is like when you have a cut, you keep getting cut on your arm, let's say. And what's the advice? Make sure and put a Band-Aid on that cut so it heals and it doesn't hurt. Put some Neosporin or some antibacterial and put a Band-Aid on it. Yeah, okay, great. The cut heals. Next week, you got another cut near the same way. And they keep telling you to put Band-Aids and antibacterial on it. And the thing just keeps happening. Well, why don't you go and find out why the person keeps getting cut on their arm at that same place? Maybe it's something going on at work or somewhere else. Change what causes the cut. All right, that's what makes me different. We go to the core here at the Mental Toughness Trainer. I'm not just happy with helping people deal with their difficult emotions. I want you to eliminate the causes of difficult emotions. That's what the Mental Toughness Trainer is all about. So to make those changes, I have described for you what I call the Holy Grail of Change. It is a 3-part process. This is part 3. Really quickly, the first part, which was episode 2 in the podcast, was the relentless belief that you can change and getting rid of the beliefs that get in the way of that. Confidence in your ability to change. You've got to have that. The desire to change fits into there as well. And I mentioned something I'll just mention again, leverage. What if somebody that you love and care about, their life depended on you making that change? Think that might happen a little bit faster? Right. The second part about making long-term change, which was in the last podcast, episode 3, is to connect to your inner mind, because that's where the heart of it all, that's the core I keep talking about. You've got to go there. You can't just think your way into some change. Sometimes you can. And if you are able to make long-term changes by just thinking, that's because you have a natural or a gifted connection to your inner mind. Some of us are more easily connected. Some of us are not so connected, and we need to work on it and develop it through such things as body awareness, emotions, movement, altered states, anything that's out of the ordinary, and begin by just becoming aware of that. All of this, step 3, delivering the correct antidote. That's what this podcast is about. All of this fits into my RACE formula, which is the overall process I take everyone through, including you listening to this podcast, to help you achieve your goals and your desires. RACE stands for R, relentless. That was episode 1 in my podcast. A is awareness. All these podcasts are awareness. C is clear. That's clear the junk at the inner mind. It's the stuff that interferes. We'll talk more about that going forward. E is emotional mastery. We'll talk more about that going forward as well. These all build on each other, work together, support each other, these ideas. And you know what? I just do it for you for the most part. Except for the clear part. You're going to have to do some work there. That is really where the rubber meets the road. Clearing the stuff. That's like stopping the cause of the cuts that keep happening, right? Or you know, I use another metaphor all the time about somebody who has a headache, a continuous headache. And somebody says, well, you know, you just take some aspirin or some ibuprofen. Well, that doesn't solve the problem if it's due to a tumor, let's say, or some other, issue inside the mind that needs to be corrected. That's where we go. And so today, moving directly to the content of today, what we need, once we've built our belief in our ability to make the change, we're ready to do it, and we are connected to the inner mind, then step three is we must deliver the correct intervention, or what I call antidotes. Okay, so we have these beliefs or belief programs residing at the level of the unconscious mind. If you are visual, imagine a square and then a line underneath the square, which is the block, and then another square underneath. The top square is the conscious mind. The line is the dividing line between, and the unconscious mind is the lower square. What we need to do is open the gateway, and what I do is erase the middle part of that line and draw a line between the conscious and unconscious mind. So that's the connection. That's part two of the Holy Grail of change. Now, you're connected. You've done a great job. Or maybe you're naturally connected all the time because you're really body aware and empathetic. That's the kind of things that people are naturally connected to their inner mind. Now, you have to give the right message for you. This is where it gets a little tricky. Now, let me see if I can bring this down to real life. So kids are generally very well connected to their inner mind. Their block hasn't really built up. It's really light. Now let's say an 8-year-old, right? Let's say we're working with an 8-year-old. I work with plenty of young kids, right? And an 8-year-old in sports, let's say, goes up against a better team or a bigger opponent, a faster opponent, right? And the kid, every time he goes up against somebody who is bigger or he thinks is bigger, stronger, faster, gets scared. So the belief, there's a belief underlying that. That's the tumor. That's the cause of the cuts, right? And the nervousness and the tension and the playing timidly, you know, that's the result. That's the open sore. That's the problem. And it comes from a belief that I need to be scared, that there's a real big problem to going up against a better opponent. All right? So that's the belief system. So now let's say the coach or the parent notices this pattern. Every time the kid goes up against somebody who he doesn't think he can totally beat or dominate, he gets all nervous, tense, worried, doubtful, and his play suffers. And the dad or the coach goes, young man, Mike, you know what? You just need to believe in yourself. And the young man goes, okay, doesn't know what that means. It doesn't have any effect on him. He's connected to his inner mind. His kids pretty much are all the time. But the dad and the coach are completely missing the mark, completely off track for what is going to help this kid get over his fear of playing against a better opponent. And so the kid just continues to go out there and continues to be nervous. And the coaches or the dad try something else. Well, you just need to go out there and just play and just have fun. Just go out there and have fun. And that doesn't do anything either. The kid hears it, and he's already knows that. It's already down there in his unconscious mind. It doesn't touch the problem program. fear of going up against a bigger, better opponent, which ultimately is fear of failure now, isn't it? So what you need to do is help the kid or yourself, if you're doing this for yourself, come up with the right antidote that tackles the problem, program, or belief. So instead of telling this kid, hey, you just need to believe in yourself, you just need to find your confidence, you need to face your fears, or all these other trite little sayings that actually make it worse, what you need to do is address the real problem and come up with the opposite of his fear of failure against this opponent, right? So if it's true, if it's not a case of fear of getting hurt by a bigger opponent, that's another issue. We'll put that aside for now. Let's just assume it's just pure fear of failure for illustration purposes. What would be a really good message to tell this kid, because he's connected, that will change his fear of failure program? Very few people know the answer to that. From my experiences, I'm going to give it to you. From my experiences, I've come up with a number of them. But my favorite one, and it's not going to help delivering it at the moment right before he's ready to go out and compete. You've got to do this work beforehand. This is what I do when I'm working with anybody for that matter. It's about destroying the idea of failure. There is no failure. And that's a whole nother podcast in and of itself that I'll get into later. But that's the right antidote. So let me talk about that word antidote. So imagine, you know, when snakes bite you, a poisonous snake bites you. And let's say you're in the United States, in the southern part of the United States, and a cottonmouth snake bites you and injects some poison into your leg. And the poison is now traveling through your blood system. What do you do? I ask my clients this when I'm helping them understand this antidote thing. And they say, well, you got to suck it out. No, it's too late. You can't suck it out. It instantly travels really fast through the bloodstream. You can't suck it out. You can maybe try to get some of it out. That's not the answer. It's rarely going to fix the problem. No, you got to take the person to the hospital. And the doctor at the hospital goes and injects something else that follows that snake venom and makes the snake venom neutralized. It's called antivenom, or that's an antidote. So they usually make an antivenom from the exact snake that bit you. So what does that mean? So let's say you go to the hospital. Let's say you're in back in the U.S. and somebody has a pet snake from Australia. And somehow that snake gets out and bites you. And you get taken to the hospital. And you say, well, it was a cottonmouth that bit me. And they give you cottonmouth antivenom. Cottonmouth is a type of poisonous snake. It's not going to work. You got to know what kind of snake. And they probably have to fly some Australian snake antivenom to you. Or maybe they have something close enough here. That's what I mean by the correct antidote. This is the big problem in all of personal development and sports psychology, if you ask me. They treat symptoms and they give you little band-aids like believe in yourself, and nobody's going to the core. Nobody's talking about the real issue and destroying it at that level, the unconscious level. And it's got to be the right antidote. So how do you come up with the right antidote to clear the problem that's in your way of getting what you want, feeling what you want, achieving what you want? Let me just give you the formula for performance or achievement is performance equals your potential minus your interference. So now we're getting down and dirty about clearing your interference. C, that's the C in the race formula. You've got to clear the interference. Like our 8-year-old kid needs to clear the program that says, I get scared, I'm afraid when I go up against bigger opponents. And what happens is that results in timid play, results in not playing to his potential. So how? There's some concepts I'm going to get across here right now to help you come up with the right antidote. Number one, you want to be very specific. Go as detailed and as specific as possible. So in our fear of failure, what is it that this kid really feels or is afraid of with regards to his idea of failure? What is it that he's really afraid of? Because we could say, well, there is no failure, and that is where I start with people. But that's a multifaceted issue. What does failure mean? So let's get even more specific than that. To an 8-year-old kid, failure means he's going to feel bad, right? He's going to feel disappointed. So I have, as part of my Fearless Competitor program, which is more for adults, but it's also built into my Mental Toughness Academy for kids, I have specific antidotes for not being afraid of your feelings. But we can get even more specific because fear of failure, like I said, has got a lot of different variables and issues surrounding it. So what else? They're afraid of seeing the reaction on dad's face when there's failure, for example, or the coach's face, or teammate's face. So he makes a meaning out of that. The meaning of disappointed faces right after this 8-year-old performs is what he's afraid of. Ultimately, he's afraid of his own emotions, feelings that come from that. But it's the meaning or perception about seeing others' disappointed faces. You see how I'm laser focusing on getting more and more specific? So what's the meaning he gives to those? The truth is, if you want to go even more specific with everybody, and you can metaphor yourself through this example I'm using, is this, well, if others are showing disappointed faces, that means they disapprove of me. It means something wrong with me. Or something like, I'm not accepted. Or I'm not good enough to be here. That's getting really specific. When we start taking those apart, delivering antidotes to each one of those things, the fear goes away. It won't matter who he plays. This kind of awareness that I'm giving you through this whole process is just pure power. The more you can take a look at yourself, if you're doing this for yourself, and the way to do that is to wait until you're not in your own emotions, not triggered by your own stuff. Wait till you're just calm and in a neutral place and use this tool I call being an observer of yourself. It's really easy to look at other people and be objective. Why is that? Because you're not feeling their feelings. You don't have their programs. But I promise you, you can do this for yourself. And a great way to begin this practice of being objective about yourself so you can deliver the right antidotes, so you can change what isn't working for you after you make the connection because you want to, because you're relentless. See now, this is all working together now. The next time you're in bed, going to sleep, imagine you can take yourself out of yourself and observe yourself just lying in bed and just have a little mental conversation with yourself. Ah, look at that. I am lying in bed right now. And I can feel my lower body. Certain parts are pushing into the mattress. I am in the location of Washington State, United States, in Bellevue, Washington, where I'm at. I am comfortable. I feel perfect temperature. Oh, I feel one part of my body is outside the covers and it's a little cold. And I can feel a pressure here. I can feel my stomach doing that. And here's what you're thinking, Craig. Look at that. You're thinking, you're just now thinking about, did you take out the garbage tonight? Or what is it that you need to do tomorrow? That's interesting. When you can't do anything about it lying in there. So you're having this conversation with yourself and practicing being an observer of yourself. And by the way, This is a really good tactic for putting yourself to sleep, because you actually bore yourself to sleep. Whenever your mind is spinning with all kinds of things that you can't do anything about because you're in bed. Now, A, if it really is stuff you really need to pay attention to, you haven't thought of, write them down, get them out of your head. But if it's the usual stuff that floats around in your head that's really not all that important, and you got it written down anyway, be an observer of yourself. And just have a running commentary of your experience. You're also practicing a technique that gets you in the present moment, where fear cannot exist. Fear cannot exist in the present moment. We'll talk more about fear in future podcasts. But the point here about coming up with just the right antidotes is to learn how to be objective about yourself. Now, you can take the shortcut and just ask other people who are smart about this, hey, what do you see about me? And get over the fear of not wanting to hear what they have to say about you. Now, someone like me who has no connection to you, personal underlying motive for giving you anything other than pure objectivity, is probably going to be your best bet. You know, your mom or dad's got underlying motives about how they want you to be or whatever, and vice versa with other people who care about you. There's always that possibility. So you never know if you're getting pure objectivity. Another way to come up with the right antidote is do not believe the thoughts that come with the feelings. People tend to think their feelings are truth. They are not. One of my favorite sayings, and I know it's a cliche, but I use it all the time with my clients, is that the truth will set you free. And the biggest error in truth that I hear all the time is generalizations. Start listening to others who say things like, you know, people tend to do this. Rich people are stingy. Poor people are lazy. My coach is mean. My daughter, my parents hate me. You hear the generalizations there? None of those are absolutely true all the time. But we start thinking them. They become a belief process, a belief program when you're connected, and you keep reinforcing it whenever you see in one instance of what you just said of that belief program. You reinforce it over and over and over, and your reticular activating system, part of your unconscious mind, ignores all evidence to the contrary and highlights all the things that reinforce that. So listen to others to practice hearing their generalizations. And when you start getting specific, is that true all the time? Is your coach always mean? Is your whatever always like this? Now you can start laser targeting specific antidotes to deal with the specific problems, and you take them apart one by one. Is this making sense? So the other tool, and we're getting a little technical here, but it's about using your rational, logical, smart, brilliant, conscious mind to come up with truth and ask for somebody who's objective if you can't do it on your own. And if you know the truth, but your body says, no, I don't feel that. I feel the opposite. That's because you have a program at the unconscious mind generating those feelings when you think about that. You have that resistance. So you've got to change that by sinking the truth into the unconscious to combat the non-truth, the generalization usually. Get specific. Use truth. Use your rational, logical mind. And if you need to, write it down so that you can literally read it to yourself. So you don't have to feel it, but you're going to deliver that to your inner mind. You're going to connect through what I talked about in the connection podcast, the last one. And you're going to deliver that. You're going to keep delivering it over and over and over and over. But you do it with this intention to do it at the unconscious level, not just your top mind conscious level. That's how you get change. You repeat. And as you do this with the intention, or you're actually thinking it in a surreal situation, or getting a massage, or on your way to sleep, or waking up in the morning, or in that altered states, literally, your body will lay down a chemical along those nervous connections called myelin. Anytime you repetitively do anything, that neural network becomes easier and easier to fire off. And then things become automatic. Yet that's changing things at the unconscious level. So then you can go back to working on the next thing. So I recommend getting specific, work on one thing at a time. Everything I do has all of this built into it. My Mental Toughness Academy for the kids up to about 14, 15, depending on their maturity level. My Advanced Mental Toughness and the Fearless Competitor, which is built into that. That's for like 16 or older. Kind of got to be a mature 16-year-old, 15-year-old maybe. I actually have had 12-year-olds that get the concepts I teach in the AMT, Advanced Mental Toughness, and the Fearless Competitor. So don't be afraid to do that. And very soon you'll see the Coach's Toolbox. So coaches can teach the shortcut versions to their players and then hold them to it and have the tools in game time to solve problems that typically come up with their players. So look for that. And then coming soon is going to be how to be a mental toughness trainer and how to do this for others. So stay tuned for that. I'm working hard all the time to create this free stuff for you and my more advanced programs. And I hope you'll join me in all of it and stick with it. And give me your comments. I want to see them here on the podcast. I would love for you to make a this was great comment on the iTunes where this is posted. The more I get, the better. That will be the thanks you can give me for delivering this free, very powerful information. Do not underestimate it just because I gave it to you for free. It is the foundation for everything I do, and it's built into all my paid programs. All right, we will see you on the next podcast. Let's do this. MentalToughnessTrainer.com. If you want to find out what has been holding you back from the life you want and the solution to clear it, get started with my mental toughness quiz found at mentaltoughnesstrainer.com and get serious about achieving your goals or maybe even become a mental toughness trainer yourself. All right, let's do this.